If you have a Bible, turn to the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 6. That's a good song. He is here, hallelujah. There's a verse in the Bible that says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. The Lord's with us today, amen? And he wants to do a work in all of our hearts. He speaks his word to us. That's certainly a blessing, but this is a familiar text to a lot of people. This is Numbers chapter 6. And we'll begin reading in verse 24. The Bible says, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. Boy, that's a real blessing. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Father, thank you for the thoughts you think toward us and all the mercy you bestow upon us. Thank you for your grace, your help. Lord, we thank you for our so great salvation and all that that means to us. And I pray today that you bless your word, meet the need of every heart, open hearts for your glorious gospel. And we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Pray for my voice that I don't lose it. Or if you want to go home early, pray that I do lose it. So however you would like to pray. This is a blessed text, and we are kept by the power of God, and God is almighty and able to do that. Last week we talked about being born again, and the Bible says you must be born again. After you are born again, we worship him, we must worship him in spirit and truth. And the Bible is real clear on those truths and those blessings that are available for our lives. To be filled with the Spirit is to have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all of those wonderful things. But sometimes we hinder that gospel by grieving the Spirit or quenching the Spirit. And that was last week's message, but I hope you got something out of that. I hope you had a better week this week enjoying the Lord. Amen? Because he can certainly minister to us. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, it's a great verse. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. This is what God is able to do in our lives. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And we go back to the Bible and we see these Bible principles and these Bible truths, and they can be applied to our lives. We can enjoy the Lord, he can enjoy us, and it's a wonderful way to live. This is Labor Day weekend, and we're going to address that in a little bit. Because everybody, we want you to stay and help clean the church today. And that'll be your labor. 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul said this. He said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And there's a keeping, there's a power in that. He's able to do, he's able to keep. 1 Peter 1, 5, we're kept by the power of God. There are some things only God is able to do. He's all-powerful, he's all-wise, he's all-present, but he's all-powerful. And he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So we go to the scripture today, and I know it'll be a blessing. To keep means to hold, to retain in one's power or possession, not to lose or part with. And certainly our salvation is that way. When we accept Christ as our Savior, he keeps us. There's some verses in John chapter 10, and this is the Lord speaking. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. That's pretty clear. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, the book of Romans tells us. And when we accept Christ as our Savior, he's going to keep that for us. I give unto them eternal life, they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. We are in the Lord's hand. His hand is in the Father's hand, and nobody's ever able to take that away from us. That's his promise. John chapter 15, Jesus said, without me ye can do nothing. Paul said in Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And that's the power of God that's at work, according to the power that worketh in us. Something happened when we received Christ as our Savior, when we got saved. The Spirit of God came to dwell within us. And he leads us. He encourages us. He gives us wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. There's the gift again. And all these things are gifts if we just receive them. In Jude verse 24, the Bible says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." So the Lord is able to do things, and we are able to do things. And God gives us like a co-laborer with God, and we work with him and for him. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 21, keep yourselves from idols. That's our responsibility. Jude, verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. Proverbs 4, keep thy heart with all diligence. Proverbs 3, forget not my law, but incline thine heart to keep my commandments. And then there's a tough one, Psalm 34, 13, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Sometimes that's hard to do. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So the Lord says in another text, my son, give me thine heart. That's where it all starts. But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. In James chapter 3, it talks about the tongue. And the Bible says that the tongue can no man tame. It's set on fire of hell. And so we can't tame it. We need God's help with our speaking. Amen? And so we pray like the psalmist, Psalm 141, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Keep the door of my lips. Somebody said, count to 100 before you say something dumb, right? And probably it's better if you count to 1,000. Amen? Maybe you've never been in that boat. But anyway, God really helps us. No man can tame it. We're kept by the power of God. In Revelation chapter 3, we're learning about the seven churches in the book of Revelation, and they are also representative of seven church ages. The last two churches that are mentioned, one is Philadelphia. Philadelphia means brotherly love. This was a great church, the church at Philadelphia. And Jesus said about that in Revelation 3:8, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. That's the church of Philadelphia. The next church, the last church age, which is typical of our age, is the church of the Laodiceans. And it was the lukewarm church. It's known as the church with the closed door. And the Lord said to those people, he says, I counsel you to buy of me. In other words, I'm going to give you advice. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. He's knocking at the door. So the church of the open door, they invite him in. The church of the closed door, he's knocking to get in. If we open the door, that's our part. He comes in to fellowship with us. And that's how you enjoy the blessings of God. Today, you can have all the blessings you want. Amen? You can have the blessing of mercy, grace, strength, wisdom. Anything you want from the Lord, because he wants to give that gift. And the greatest gift of all is the gift of salvation. And when we know that gift, except a man be born again, he cannot see. That salvation opens the door for us, and we invite him in. And now he's living within us. It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. Amen? And we tell the world that we're Christians, like we sang in the song, but it's just a blessing. So open the door, invite him in, and he will fellowship with you. Psalm 17. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. He does his part, we follow and do our part, and then we are safe. Isaiah 30, verse 21, thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left hand. The Lord really wants to guide our lives, and how does he do that? He doesn't guide it with dreams, and he doesn't guide it with all these other things. He guides it with the word. We come to the word of God, and we see his will, and we follow his will, and he's constantly opening that door for us and showing us where to go. In Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. That's what God is telling us. Our world is really changing. Amen? It's changing not for the better, but for the worse. there are things going on in our country and all over the world that you just shake your head and say, how could anybody think that was right? Amen? But the Lord says, stand in the ways, see, and ask for the old paths. But they said, we will not walk therein. And so God's always given advice. Amen? People are good at giving advice. And sometimes their advice is good, sometimes it's not good. God's is always good. And here's the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. Here's a man standing up in a pulpit. I've got a Bible. I've got some ideas on what to share with you. I've prayed about it. Our people have been praying. So everybody's here. This isn't an accident. We're here to hear the Word of God. And it's always God that it's the pure Word of God, and it's good direction. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In Psalm 127, the Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. And so he's the one that really keeps that. And he allows us to be a fellow laborer. And many have labored to build churches, to see their neighbors, their relatives saved. But it's God that does the work. But what a blessing it is to come to church today. Ephesians chapter 5, Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Ephesians chapter 3, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Ephesians chapter 5, the church is subject unto Christ. Colossians chapter 1, he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So the church is of God. Amen. I'm glad everybody's here today. Praise the Lord, because this is not convicting to you. You're in church, right? Amen. So we've come to church today to hear what God has to say. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The Bible compares the church to a body. And we all have a different part to play. And let's look at a few verses here. Verse 12. Chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink of the Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Drop down to verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. So we come to church and there's something to do in church. We're not all a foot or a hand or a finger or an eye or an ear. We go on down to verse 24. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one of another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. We work as a body. God designed it that way. And we're blessing one to another. Love one another with a pure heart fervently. Pray one for another. Those are in instructions from the Lord. We try to help one another, comfort one another. All of those different truths. Labor Day marks the day in 1894 when Congress declared the first Monday in September a national holiday. We're rejoicing in that today because we got the day off tomorrow. And it goes on to say, the nation's, it's honored to honor the nation's workers and their contributions for the well-being of the country. What's the old saying that Kennedy said? Ask not what you can do for your country. I thought, yeah, ask what you can do for your country. This is not, listen, God can do so much for us, amen? And we can do so much for God. How can that be? He uses human instruments, and we're a blessing to each other in the church. In Luke chapter 10, verse 2, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, and the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he send forth laborers into his harvest. And this is a message where God sends us. God sends us out into the highways and hedges where we can bring people into the house of God so they can be ministered to. That's a blessing of the Lord, amen? And so God can use any of us to do that. In Matthew chapter 28, this is interesting. What think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And then the second son, he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. In other words, if you've not gone into the vineyard to this point in time, there's always hope. Amen? You can always change your mind and be used of the Lord. The church is God's instrument in the world today to reach the lost. And we're to give the gospel out in our own Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Next week is going to be really exciting. Eric Krope will be with us, missionary to Russia. He came to our church when he was in the sixth grade, or maybe even younger, third grade. Came in third grade. He went through our Bible Institute, and he went to the mission field, and he's been there for a long time. And that's what churches do. People come and get saved. Some of them get called to preach, and they go out, and they win the lost all around the world. In Genesis chapter 4, there's a story about Cain and Abel. And Abel brought the sacrifice that would be pleasing to God. He brought the firstlings of the flock. Cain brought the works of his own hands, and he was not accepted of God, his sacrifice. And so Cain got jealous and mad at Abel, and Cain killed Abel. You're probably familiar with the story. And God came to him, and the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And obviously, he was his brother's keeper. We are all our brother's keepers. And we're supposed to, as the church does, minister one to another. It's good to come to church and get strength from each other. It's good. Iron sharpeneth iron. It's good to be around other believers. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we have something in common. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. I think this young lady back here is a sister, and there are seven sisters in the family. Two sisters? Seven sisters? Am I right? Eight sisters? Man, that's a great family, amen? Seven brothers would be better, but it's a blessing. And a family loves and cherishes one another, and they're there one for the other, and they love one another. It's hard to say no to love, amen? And when you think of all that God did for us, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. We love him because he first loved us. This love is there, and it's consuming. We lost our little schnauzer several months ago, and it was the fourth one that we've had in our lives. It's amazing how you can love a dog. I mean, absolutely amazing. And sometimes now they're still wet eyes, and we miss that dog. And so anyway, we're looking for a dog. Lynn just got a new dog. Hip, hip, hooray for Lynn, amen? And pray for us. We've looked at one. That didn't work. And so there's a couple others we're going to get. But you feel that love, amen? That's what we can feel towards God, and he feels towards us. And that love can share and go out. What's the first and greatest commandment? Love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, with all thy strength. The second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. It's just something that he does for us. And we love the lost. We love those that despitefully use us because God loves them. Amen? If a man say he loved God and hates his brother, it's a lie. It's not a truth. And so God just spreads that love. And it's so wonderful to have that. Genesis chapter 4, am I my brother's keeper? Yes, we are. And the Lord asked that question, where is Abel thy brother? And he asked us the question too, where is our brother? Where is our neighbor? Luke chapter 11, we won't read it, but it's a parable about a man that was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves. And they beat him. They left him half dead. They stole everything that he had, and they left him by the side of the road. And coming by, a priest was coming by and saw him and went by on the other side. And then there was another man that came by, and he looked at him, and he went by on the other side. And finally, the Good Samaritan came along. And he went to where he was. That's a quote from the Bible. He went to where he was. And he put oil in his wounds. He put him on his own beast. He took him to an inn. He told the innkeeper, I'll pay for this. And when I come back, if you need any more money, I will pay. And that was the Good Samaritan. That's what the Lord did for us. And the Lord says to us, go and do thou likewise. That was the end of the parable. Go and do thou likewise. And so we love one another, amen, with a pure heart fervently. That love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Just a wonderful thing. There's a psalm that says, a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be the doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. Reminds me of the text back in Nehemiah, I think it's chapter 6, where the Jews have come back out of captivity, out of the Babylonian captivity. They're coming back into Jerusalem, which has been destroyed. They're rebuilding the temple. They're rebuilding the walls and the gates, all the doors that are into the city. And there's a number of things being repaired. Some of the gates were the sheep gate, the fish gate, the old gate, the valley gate, the east gate, all of these gates. And they had a specific purpose, whether they brought things in or took things out. But there was a specific purpose for all of them. In Nehemiah chapter 3, though, in verse 14, the Bible talks about the dung gate. You know where the dung gate is, right? Just say yes. Amen. Okay. And there was a man by the name of Malchiah, and he repaired that gate, and he built it, and he was the one that was supposed to make sure that gate worked. That's where the refuse of the city went out of the city. His name means Jehovah is King. You would think that people would be lining up in churches to clean the restrooms. Amen? It's a little joke, you know. But anything. I'd rather be the doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in tents of wickedness. I'd rather just be a doorkeeper. Give me anything to do, Lord. You know, I'm not the eye, I'm not the ear, I'm not this, but I'm just this. I'm an uncomely part of the body, but I'm going to give you that part for your glory and your honor. I'm just going to do whatever you want me to do. What a blessing. Isaiah chapter 6. God said to Isaiah, whom will I send and who will go for me? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. What can be done with somebody like that? Somebody that will go and do whatever God wants them to do. We're going to have the Lord's Supper in just a little while. And we remember the Lord's death. And we do that, and we remember his death until he come, because it's so important to remember what God has done for us. Forget not all his benefits. He daily loads us with benefits, and then the Bible says, forget not all his benefits. And we remind ourselves, and when we muse or when we think about it, our heart burns. And we know that we love God, and what a blessing it is to have the Lord's Supper. We want to honor today, because it's Labor Day, those who've been real doorkeepers in this church. Maybe not by name, but God knows who you are. And you've kept yourselves pure. You've brought people to this place. You've served the Lord in so many different ways. You've produced a loving spirit here. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Bless his name. We also want to remember the men that God called to work in this field, to pastor the flock, to feed the flock with the word of God. Take your Bible and go to Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah 49. Just read a couple verses. Every time I come into this church, and for you visiting, I've only been here, I think we're going on our eighth year. So we haven't been here that long. And so when we came in, we're building on another man's foundation. But that foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're all in this together. Amen. But this church, a lot of the men, some of the men here and some that have gone on to be with the Lord, built this with their own hands. Things were given to the church, et cetera, et cetera. The church is out of debt and just doing well for the Lord. But whenever I come in, I'll look at the woodwork. I'll look at why they did this way and why they did this that way. And I always appreciate that because I never want to forget all of the labor and all of the prayer and all of the sacrifice that was put into the house of God so that people could come and hear the gospel. Amen. Look with me at Isaiah 49 and verse 1. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. This is for Isaiah, but it's also a picture of the Lord. Take your Bible and go a little bit to the right, to the book of Jeremiah. It's just a few pages. These verses are special to me because this is what I believe God did with me. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God called those men. God called those laborers before they were ever born. Life begins at conception. Amen? And even before that, because it was in God's plan. You know, in Romans chapter 10, I think it is, how shall they hear without a preacher, and how shall they preach except they be sent? You go to the book of Acts, and there, I think it's Acts chapter 13, where they called Paul and Barnabas and sent them out to do their missionary work. And that is all because somebody had a vision for a church. And that church followed the word of God and has kept the faith. Thomas and Pamela Bush were here in 93 to 98. They were the first pastor and wife. Richard and Joanne Gordon, they were here in 99 to 2002. Matt and Sherry Pruitt, 2002, 2008. Jack and Dee Whitehead from 2009 to 2016. Thank God for sending those men to this church to minister to you. I know how dear some of them are to your hearts. Maybe some of you got saved under their ministry. Since we've been here, there have been people saved under our ministry. But we're all in this together. Amen? And I want to thank you for your faithfulness. It's Labor Day. We're laborers together with God. Amen? And I work Sunday morning for an hour, and then I got the rest of the week off. I mean, it's a tough job, you know? Anyway, pray for us. Labor Day is a day when workers can feel respected for the work that they have done all over the year. All over the year. A friend of mine, pastor friend of mine, is with the Lord right now. But he told me one time, he said, Paul, he said, sometimes I feel like my church is called the Church of the Revolving Door. There's people coming in and there's people going out. There's always people moving away. And we're going to vote on this in just a minute. I vote that all of these people move from wherever they're at here and they'll become part of the church. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Amen. Whatsoever is bound on earth is bound in heaven. Amen. I guess I'm misusing that text a little bit. But we're all here working together for the Lord. So we come to church today and we want to get strengthened by the word of God. We want to get comforted. We want some direction. We want to be able to fellowship and rub elbows with somebody. Amen. Because we all love God and we're remembering God together. We're singing songs. We're praying. That's the purpose of the church. And then we go out into the highways and hedges and do what the Lord wants us to do. God has kept this church all these years. All these years. You have the right doctrine. You have the right spirit. And God is continuing to add to this assembly. There's a song that says, we're pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road. And those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary. Their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. We just had Cheryl played it. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe. And the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. The churches remain faithful. Praise God for that. And many of you, you're just faithful to the Lord. One more verse of scripture, Matthew chapter 25. If you want to turn there, Matthew chapter 25. Who is my neighbor? Who is my brother? for sitting with them today. Amen. We pray one for another. My wife and I pray for you. I know you pray for us. But in our families and in our acquaintances, we pray one for another because that connects us. In Matthew chapter 25, the Lord is speaking, verse 35. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye've done it unto me. The least of these, my brethren, ye've done it unto me. That's Christianity. That's the proof of our salvation. That's the proof of our love for God when we begin to love what He loves. Amen. Thank God, if you're here today and you're a Christian, thank God you received Him as your Savior. Wonderful day. Born again. New life. New creature in Christ. Amen. Wonderful. And there's so many people that He wants us to reach. Be faithful. Amen. You have been faithful. You're here. You've been faithful all year, maybe for dozens of years. But the time now is at hand. Because everything seems to be changing. Let's do whatever we can for the Lord and for His church and His people. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please. We have a lot of visitors today. I thank you for coming and being with us, for sure. And we never know who knows the Lord and who doesn't know the Lord. And I just want to give a simple invitation today. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's so simple. We're all sinners. We know that. And God sent His Son to be the Savior of all mankind. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so He offers that to anybody that will receive His Son. Jesus died on a cross for you and me. And all that call upon Him, He'll forgive them of all their sins and give them a home in heaven. If you've never prayed and asked Jesus to be your Savior, I would like you to pray. You can follow my prayer. It doesn't have to be word for word. It just has to be meant from your heart. That's all. You don't have to say it out loud. God hears the prayer of your heart. Dear Jesus, please forgive me of all my sin. I accept you as my Savior. Thank you for dying for me. Make me your child and give me a home in heaven for all eternity. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we're so grateful today for the free gift of salvation. Thank you so much for it. And I pray your word has been a blessing to all here. And I trust that you'll be glorified by the results, by what we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.